Time to talk adjustments. Time to talk about the biggest game of the year. Yes, welcome in Locked On Grizzlies here for this Tuesday. And yeah, it is game five tonight at 8 o'clock out in San Antonio. This is the biggest game of the year. And boy, this thing, it could go any number of different directions. And frankly, I don't know that there would be too many of them that would surprise you. At this point, I guess probably the only real surprise would be an absolute blowout, and I'd probably be stunned, you know, if San Antonio comes out and completely blows out the Grizzlies. That would be stunning, because I don't even think I'd be that stunned if the Grizzlies, you know, racked up a big lead against the Spurs based on what we saw in game three, into game four. You know, there have been some consistencies that we've seen from a matchup standpoint, from a personnel standpoint, that have been pretty consistent and have been pretty predictable, you know, down the stretch. So that it wouldn't shock me to see the Grizzlies kind of go up, you know, relatively big. It would shock me at this point to see the Spurs go up relatively big, you know, for those reasons that we talked about. I think the Grizzlies have kind of found something in this series, and now the question is, of course, you know, what do the Spurs do? What does, you know, Greg Popovich do? Yeah, because I think, you know, in series, it's always fascinating to kind of judge the ebb and the flow, and to kind of judge, you know, which way it's headed from momentum, all that stuff. And, you know, I think this is absolutely huge advantage, and, you know, momentum wise and everything else for the Grizzlies. And I think if it were to continue in the vein that it's on right now, then the Grizzlies win the whole thing going away. So out of all the writing, all the work that's done, all the discussion, whatever, I think it's pretty clear that San Antonio has work to do. The Spurs have things they have to do. Things they have to change, things upon, and I think it's incumbent upon them to do that now. If everything kind of stays the same, I think, you know, the Grizzlies are going to win again. They're going to win Game Five, and then, you know, that's set up for a huge, emotional, incredible opportunity for, you know, Game Six. That's where we are right now in the series. I mean, it is pretty clear that you are dealing with a team in the Grizzlies that just won't quit, that just will not quit, has all the opportunity in the world to slow down, and has not slowed down one bit. Has not given up, and in fact has continued to remain, you know, relentless throughout this thing. It has improved by, you know, day to day and, you know, moment to moment throughout the course of the series. And their instincts somewhere have really kind of paid off. David Fizdale's instincts have kind of paid off in some of this stuff. It has not always been pretty, but it has been very effective, and it has worked extremely well. We have kind of talked in the last few weeks about how, you know, this series and this team kind of has some parallels to some Grizzly teams of years past, and, you know, sometimes those things come and go, Sometimes those comparisons are more apt than others. But as the series has kind of gone on, we've discussed it and thought about it first as kind of a more of a hope for fans, and now you could maybe look at it and say it's a legitimate comparison to that Clippers series from first round 4 years ago when the Grizzlies got blown out in game one, lost game two, but it was closer, and then won four straight, including game five on the road. And, Mike Conley was asked about that at practice, and he said, that's something that's certainly crossed their mind too.
Exact same scenario, with a better team. San Antonio, I think, is one of the best teams we've seen in a long time. But to win game five, to win three in a row, I guess a team like San Antonio is what we need to happen, is what we'd like to happen, and we're going to do everything that's necessary to make sure we put ourselves in position to win.
Well, that is kind of the scenario, Yeah, that's kind of, the dream, if you're thinking about that. It's not only from the Grizzlies side, but also from the Spurs side. The Spurs have a little history of that, too. That would describe what happened with Oklahoma City on their side. They completely dominated the Thunder in game one, won game two, but then they lost four straight. It's kind of both sides have a little something there that would remind them of that. And that's why I think if this thing goes the way it's continuing to go right now, that's exactly what's going to happen. The Spurs are the ones who have to make a change. They're the ones who are going to have to actually do something different. And, for me, I think one of the things that they're going to try to do is, try to space the floor more. And they're going to try to use maybe Davis Bertans more. And if you saw my Twitter feed, I put a video up there. If you haven't checked it out, go to my Twitter feed at Peter Edmiston on Twitter. You can see that. I kind of put a video up to sort of help explain why I think Bertans will play more. In the video, you'll see the cut that Bertans makes that really kind of destabilizes the Grizzlies defensively. The Grizzlies have done a good job, for the most part, even though Kawhi had all those points late in the game. He made some really tough shots. There were a couple breakdowns, but by and large, Grizzlies have done a pretty good job fundamentally of staying true to what they want to do. They've really tried to funnel things to the middle. They've tried to avoid giving the Spurs the opportunity to switch sides and go side to side, which they like to do to really stretch things out. But when Bertans was out there, he made a cut that kind of tricked the Grizzlies, and it short-circuited some of the decisions that they made about who to help off of, how to pass off. One guy has, in this case, Jermichael Green had Bertans, but Bertans cuts, and then that sort of kind of activated the possibility for Bertans to be passed off to Marcus Gasol. Which I think was kind of what Jermichael Green thought, but then it wasn't what Mark thought. They end up basically all over the place and structurally get a little messed up, and Bertans ends up with a wide open three, which he hits. He can do that. I think playing in space is going to be something that has been a problem for the Grizzlies defensively all year long. And I think whether it's Bertans playing more or whether it's Kawhi, finally playing a little bit more of the four, some kind of small ball spacing, whatever you want to call it, I think that's what's going to be out there. And I asked David Fizdale if he thought that was the case too. And here is what he had to say about preparing for that.
At the end of the day, you got to be ready for everything. I've really tried to prepare our guys to be able to play space ball all year, whether it's two bigs on the floor for us or if it's J. Mike or a small. It's just a matter of who out-executes who at this point and who does what they do better. You know, and hopefully our guys will be up for that challenge if they do that.
Spaceball. That's what I took from that quote, spaceball. He called it spaceball. That's what it should be. Not small ball, not, you know, any other phrase that you want to throw out there. No, it's spaceball. I've been preparing our guys to play spaceball. That sounds like you, it's Space Jam. Like you're drinking that secret stuff that they gave to Michael Jordan and the Space Jam guys to beat the Monstars. That's how you prepare to play spaceball, in my mind. Forget about the other stuff. Forget about practice, all that. That's how you really play spaceball. Spaceball. They have to play it. They got to play in space, and they have to defend in space. And this is where I think the adjustment's going to be made from the Spurs. If you're getting a lot of activity out of lineups that involve Zach Randolph or that involve two traditional bigs for the Grizzlies, you know, the Spurs have to run those lineups off the court. And that's what they have to do. It's on them to get those lineups off the court. And they have to do something. That kind of thing, if they were to throw that lineup out there, would probably force the Grizzlies' hand, would force them to really play that kind of space ball in a way that they really haven't done this year defensively, or it would force the Grizzlies to change to make the move, and it would get them to take one of the bigs off the court. Probably in that case, it would be advantage to the Spurs in that case. So that's the one thing that I expect to see. I think also you can expect from a adjustment standpoint, Manu Ginobili just can't be out there. And it's a series where, you know, Andrew Harrison, for example, can play and Manu Ginobili can't. That's not something that I expected, but, you know, Harrison has been effective enough offensively, not saying he's been great by any stretch, but effective enough to stay out there and to play, and he's made plays and obviously made huge plays, including that chase down block. Defensively, he's been good. You know, offensively, not always, but defensively, you know, very solid, particularly, you know, for a rookie. I gave you the numbers yesterday about, you know, him being out there alongside, you know, Mike Conley, and his numbers with Conley have been very, very good. The numbers without Conley have been catastrophic. Those are the ones you have to worry about. But, you know, all in all, he's played really well. And I asked, you know, Fizdale if he thought that all those minutes that he gave Harrison all year long and all the criticism that he's taken, including for me, it was at all to kind of prepare for this moment in this series and this kind of thing, you know, from Andrew Harrison.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew had to go through what he went through. I mean, it just, we had to fast track him. You know, one of those young guards had to get, you know, to a level where I can rely on him in the playoffs. And, you know, Andrew over the course of the year showed consistently that he was more reliable. And so, you know, that's why even late I just felt like, you know, keep showing him how much I believe in him. You know, because one of his big things early in the year was a confidence thing. And so I just had to keep showing him how much faith I had in him. That I would even be willing to start him. And I think it's really helped the kid grow. And, you know, you can tell he's not afraid of the big lights, you know, in the crunch moments.
You step away and it really is pretty amazing that they've been able to get the kind of contributions that they've gotten from Harrison all season long. He's done enough. He hasn't been spectacular or even good in stretches, but it has worked, and they've been able to squeeze enough out of it to make the situation with Harrison a success story in the end. So, you know, what now, what else will the Grizzlies and the Spurs do in this moment? I think you can also expect, you know, without them playing Manu Ginobili, that means that The Spurs will have to play someone else in those minutes. Who gets those minutes? And I would think that it would be Jonathan Simmons, who has the opportunity to show more athleticism. He's springier. He would help to give you a little more oomph in those lineups if you're the Spurs, and the Grizzlies have to prepare for his presence to be out there, and I think that makes them a more dangerous group. You know, from the Grizzlies' side, I don't know that, you know, I talk about these adjustments that the Spurs would make potentially. The only really adjustment that you could see from the Grizzlies would be involving Troy Daniels. But I asked Fizdale about Troy, and he said, look, he's an injection player at this point, which is to say he's not going to be a rotation guy, that, you know, he's not going to play rotation steady minutes. But if they need an injection of something, then he's the guy that they would go to for that. And, yeah, I think that's something you could see. I think that's something that is possible. I think if the game gets particularly spaced out, I think you'll also see that maybe that would be when Brandon Wright would enter the equation, possibly, depending on how spaced out it gets. But there then could be a matchup for Wright to be able to use a little more of that athletic ability. It would stretch out a bit, and that would make more sense to use him in those situations. You know, in a conventional game, if it stays the way it is, he's not going to play. The physicality of it is just too much for him. But if things change a little bit in that regard, then you might see the Grizzlies go to him and change the way the series is played a little bit. One other thing that you've seen from the Grizzlies, and I talked a little bit to Marc Gasol about this, is, you know, they've really worked to establish quick, and it's weird to say this because it's been such a slow-paced series, but where they can, on runouts, on leakouts, on quick outlets off of rebounds, you know, the Grizzlies have tried to get early offense, have tried to get, you know, if not out-and-out transition offense, at least some delayed fast break stuff, some stuff that they can get before the Spurs set their defense. That they will have to continue to do. You know, you saw in game four, you know, Mark fire it all the way down court, 94-foot pass to Zach Randolph on the leak out, and, you know, Zach kind of muffed the catch. But that was, again, that's the idea that, you know, you leak out, you try to get out a little bit quickly if you can. And, you know, that may come at the expense of, you know, some of the offensive rebounding that you're gonna give up. That's, you know, maybe that's a price that you're willing to pay. You know, the Spurs have been better on the glass. Spurs have really killed the Grizzlies in putbacks. And you've seen that because of the long arms. So, you know, maybe the Grizzlies willing to kind of give that up in order to get a few easy baskets on the offensive end. Yeah, that's, I mean, that would make some sense, and that would be a possibility. We've seen in this series, Grizzlies offensively, if you compare the way they looked in the regular season to the way they look in this series, you know, one of the things that you are seeing is that the Grizzlies are getting about half of their normal offense off of those offensive rebounds that we talked about, their own offensive rebounds. You know, in the regular season, they got almost 7% of their offense per synergy on offensive rebounds. In the playoffs, it's about 4%. You know, and that's a big drop off. That's the norm for them, is to get more of those. But again, because of the length inside, the Spurs have neutralized some of that, and the Grizzlies have had to back off of that aspect of their game. You've seen them bump up the offense, bump up the post-ups in just a little bit, and have been a little more effective on those post-ups in the postseason than they were in the regular season. The pick and roll, in their pick and roll offense, which was one of the better things that they do in the regular season, same thing has carried over, and in fact, they do it much more effectively against the Spurs. Their transition game that we've talked about has bumped up from 10.6% of their normal offense in the regular season to 12.2% here in the postseason thus far, and they are also more efficient in those opportunities. They've gone from 1.1 points per possession to 1.15. Not a huge difference, but enough of one to make a difference. Shoot 52% in the regular season and 57% in the postseason. And these are, again, kind of the differences that you start to see over the course of the series. And that's a smart move to emphasize that, to get out early, to try to get easier baskets before the number one defense in the NBA gets set. That is the much better approach that the Grizzlies can take in this particular series, or really any other time, for that matter. We'll find out over the course of the next 48 minutes exactly where this thing stands, because the Grizzlies, I do think they have wrestled the momentum, wrestled the impetus, wrestled all the vibes, the positivity, all that stuff has gone in the direction of the Grizzlies. And, while there are adjustments that they're going to have to make too, really it's incumbent upon the Spurs to change the tenor of the series. There are things they can do. Bertans, Simmons, playing Kawhi at the four, spreading things out a little bit more, forcing the Grizzlies to play defense in space. What do the Grizzlies do with that Troy Daniels option? When do they go to it? Again, these are all the opportunities. These are all the questions that they have. And I just can't wait. I think I cannot wait. The anticipation, 8 o'clock tip-off tonight, and it will be, again, on NBA TV. That will be the Spurs broadcast. I would suggest watching it on Fox Sports Southeast with Pete and Brevin and Fish and everybody else to be part of that particular crew. It's incredible. And we'll be back tomorrow night with a whole lot more. Be another late night. Been a lot of late nights. This one I'm recording it way late again, so forgive me if there have been any issues or anything like that. Doing the best I can with a pretty brutal schedule at this stage. Thank you so much for being part of the pod. Again, thanks to GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies for their continued support. Great folks at Grizz Essentials, man. They are just awesome. And this is the time of year when you want to say thank you to local folks who continue to support the team, to continue to support your Grizzlies, and who have been there all year long. And that's Grizz Essentials, man. That's what they do. Every single month you can get a curated, beautifully selected box of the freshest, coolest Grizzlies gear that's out there. Not just shirts. They do have awesome shirts that feel amazing and are lots of fun to wear. I was wearing the LVC for 3 shirt that I got from Grizz Essentials just yesterday, as a matter of fact. And super comfortable, lots of fun. But it's more than that. It's all this hand-selected cool gear, hand-selected art, hand-selected mugs in some cases, stuff for your pets that you'll see. It just all, you never know. It's the coolest box with the most unique stuff that you can only get from Grizz Essentials. Go to GrizzEssentials.com/LOGrizzlies to start finding out more and to sign up for your boxes that'll come every single month. Big thanks to the folks at GrizzEssentials.com for their support. Big thanks to all of you guys for all of your support. Can't wait to see what happens. Jump on Twitter at Peter Edmiston if you want to get in touch with me. That's the way to do it. Again, a big thanks to everybody for listening, for subscribing, for being part of the pod. Have yourselves a great Tuesday, And all I can say, enjoy Game 5. It has all the potential to be very, very special indeed.